Tom Hanks Podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks Podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is the podcast about Tom Hanks, hosted by me, Rachel Chapman. Woo-hoo. And today on the podcast, we've got, oh boy, what is that?
A rubber band.
Part of my pizza. Oh. Anyway.
Oh, we all thought it was something different. I thought it was tape.
Isn't
basil.
It?
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah, basil.
Anyway.
Basil.
Today on the podcast, I've got two of my good friends. Okay. She's got a show out on Netflix now. It's called The Last Kids on Earth. It's Hailey Mantini.
Hello. Hey.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Thank you for being here. And then also, this girl's a actress.
I'm
it's Coop Foster.
Hello, everyone. Yeah.
Oh, I love actress.
Actress.
It's comedian actress.
Yeah.
She's a cactus.
Oh,
you're also spiky.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, you guys.
Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
It's the happiest time of year because we're talking about the Polar Express.
Yay!
From 2004.
Whoa, I didn't realize it was 2004.
Yeah. A year, I looked it up a year after Elf because they use super similar Christmas soundtracks.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Which came first, the Elf or the Polar Express? It was Elf.
Elf. Wow. Huh. Polar Express just used it.
Dang. Used and abused. It's the same. Ooh.
Do, 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 turn up. That's the remix, though.
Well,
that's the remix.
I wonder if they also, there's also a song that they use for a Christmas parade at Disney that's the... Do 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 do.
So it's all in like the same vein.
Yeah.
Christmas
music.
Christmas vein.
Used everywhere.
What if our veins, instead of being blue or green, then we've had Christmas blood.
Oh, Christmas blood.
Oh.
Yeah.
We know. Christmas blood coming to our theater next Halloween.
Well, for anyone who hasn't seen the Polar Express before, I've got a synopsis from IMDb. Okay, you guys ready for
this?
I'm
ready.
Yeah.
Okay. On Christmas Eve, a young boy embarks on a magical adventure to the North Pole on the Polar Express while learning about friendship, bravery, and the spirit of Christmas.
Aww.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, this movie was directed by Rob Zemeckis.
Which I was very excited about because as an 80s lady, everything I watched was Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah, Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He also did Tales from the Crypt series on HBO.
Wait, he did that series?
Uh-huh. It was him, Robert Zemeckis. It was Robert Zemeckis squared. And what's the George? No, not George Lucas. What's Steven Spielberg and somebody else?
Steven Spielberg did Tales from the Crypt?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Shit. I love it.
Oh, can we cut us on this podcast?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I love Tales from the Crypt. It's like one of my favorite shows of all time.
Steven Spielberg is Robert Zemeckis' mentor.
Whoa.
Also, it makes sense that they were together on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, there's a Steven Spielberg reference in this movie.
Oh, what is it?
When they're in the Elf headquarters and they're like, some kid named Steven like stole something from his little sister and he's on the naughty list now.
Oh
yeah.
And that's referring to
Steven Spielberg.
Did he really do that?
Well, no, but it said he was from some town in America and it was where Steven Spielberg was born.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh, like the New Jersey. He's from New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey. Yeah. It was New Jersey.
Got it.
The budget for this movie was $165 million.
Jeez. Whoa.
I thought it was cheaper to animate stuff, though.
No.
What?
I don't know.
What?
I'm sorry.
It takes longer. It
takes a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the cumulative worldwide gross was $313 million.
Oh, so it did pretty good.
Yeah.
Was there a sequel?
No.
I thought there was, because I remember, well, it just comes out in the theater every year. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. Does it? They put it back out in the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. I've watched it a lot because it seems to always be on television. Mm-hmm. For a while, there was part of the 25 Days of Christmas on Freeform.
Hey.
So I just watch it a lot.
I never know, like, this, I saw it in the theaters, I remember. Oh. And then I've never seen it on TV or anything since then. So
it's on Hulu right now, so anyone wants to see it, it's on Hulu.
I see.
Shout out to Hulu.
Woo, Hulu.
Which is also owned by Disney. Yeah.
The same big umbrella.
Yeah, yeah. But so you've seen it before. Had you seen it?
This is my first time seeing it.
First time seeing it.
Which is sad because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
A lot.
Don't spoil your feelings.
I'm sorry.
And I think it should also be clarified though that Coop hadn't read the book either.
Oh yeah. That it was a book.
Didn't know it was a book.
Wow. So see, this time around, I liked it the first time around. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm still kind of okay on it. Yeah. It wasn't like totally for me, but I do get what they were doing. Yeah. There's a lot of roller coaster stuff. Like clearly it was done in 3D.
Yes.
Clearly for 3D. There's like a part where a pin flies through the air and you can just imagine where it's like, that was the big shot. The pin's flying right at me. Yeah.
I feel like I've seen this in a lot of like 4D theaters where it's like you get to experience it.
They spray you with snow.
Yeah. Where it like snows in the theater or something like that, or wind blows on you.
Wind blows, the cold wind blows.
Is that a real theater experience?
Yeah, yeah. They do that now.
4D.
Yeah, in horror movies, then they like cut someone and just splashes you with blood.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not.
I thought you reacted.
I would go to that. I'd go to that for sure.
It's like a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we get into this movie, what's your favorite Tom Hanks movie?
Big.
It's hard for me to choose, but can I do a comedy and a drama?
Sure.
I would like to nominate Philadelphia, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Good one. And then, yeah, it is super sad. And then comedy-wise, I'm going to do Big.
Big is so good.
And that was like this first thing that you were like, oh, that's Tom Hanks.
Nominated for an Oscar for that role.
Was he really for Big?
Uh-huh. His first Oscar nom.
That's amazing.
Yep.
They wouldn't do that now. No. Like, I feel like they would not put a movie that's like that, like an acting job done by somebody in a movie that popular. Like, that's so hard to get past unless there was like, okay, and it gets gritty here.
They would do it for a female because there's not enough. I feel like there's not enough like female roles, right? Because didn't Melissa McCarthy get nominated?
Yeah, for Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
But that was a rarity. That was like a super, like people were like, whoa, a lady for a comedy.
I feel like, I don't remember what it was, but someone was like talking about how like, it's like not easier, obviously, but it's just like the roles that women are given aren't as
That makes sense.
Meatier to them, so like you always see the guy category is like this really dramatic role where they had to like really lose a lot of weight or something for it, whereas women are just like,
baby, come home.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah. But we got fixed that.
Yeah
Anyways, but Tom Hanks got nominated for Big.
That's so
well
cool.
Deserved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did applause. Not get nominated for this, even though he played multiple characters.
Woo-hoo.
All the same voice.
Yeah,
pretty much. You can't, when it comes to Tom Hanks, you really can't like differentiate that voice.
Yeah, that's like all of those voices sounded like Woody.
Yeah.
Also
like Woody doing a weird accent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And how many voices did he do, Rachel?
He did the hero boy, the dad, Santa Claus, the conductor, the hobo, and I think that's it.
Interesting.
Wow.
So here's a fun voiceover fact. So you can do up to three roles and still get paid the same fee. And then on your fourth role, then you get, you just have to start getting paid for two actors. So a lot of times they'll, when you go in and do a voice, they'll see if they can throw an extra one at you. Because they can get the most out of their money.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh, I wonder if he was like three. And I was like, oh, no. T. Hanks got his.
He got more.
He got Buko bucks.
But the thing is I wonder if they did. Because there was a theory that the conductor is actually the kid in the future. He goes back in time to show his younger self. The spirit of Christmas.
Well, that's some Black Mirror shit.
Yeah.
That's some Black Mirror shit.
What if that combines some of the characters so it's really only three?
Maybe.
Oh, you think that they wrote the story specifically so they wouldn't have to pay
him? This guy's bleeding us dry.
No. It's the same person.
It's
see?
The same person. Yeah. Santa is the conductor and the hobo and the little kid all in one. He grows up to become Santa. Who can change his body.
And then we pull out and it's all in a snow globe.
Yeah.
It's
all but yeah, let's get into this movie.
Let's do it.
Okay. So the Hero Boy, that's his name, by the way. Hero Boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looks like a hero boy.
None of them
boy.
Have yeah. real names.
HB.
Yeah.
Except for Timmy or Tommy.
Billy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. You needed his name because he sees his name on the present.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's the only one. They couldn't call him Hero Boy 2.
No. So Hero Boy is waiting for Santa because he's super skeptical, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like listening. He goes downstairs. He thinks he sees Santa, but it's really just his sister and his dad, their shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see him looking at like, a department store picture of him where he's pulling the beard off the Santa, and then there's like a newspaper article that says like Santa's on strike.
Yeah, he's like hot on the trail of a Santa conspiracy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he wants to see Santa, but then also is skeptical, and then so he tries to go back to bed, but that's when the Polar Express shows up.
Right. He's like baby Scully from X-Files.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
I mean, he does
busting
say,
it open.
I want to believe at one point.
I mean, he's got the, he goes, his arc is that he lands at Mulder. He starts as a Scully. He's like, here's all the articles proving Santa's a fucking hoax.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's like, I want to believe.
Yeah. And he does.
This is Mulder's child arc.
So Tom Hanks is the, so far we've already heard him be the narrator, the dad, and now he's the conductor. And he's kind of a weird conductor. He's like very weird about time and kind of like.
Yeah.
He's like strict, but you know he's doing it because he has a secret plan behind everything.
Right.
He's the mean teacher that's secretly rooting for you.
Like a right. Mr. Feeny.
Yes.
Mr. Feeny.
Oh, wow. And then they pass by. Oh, so he's like, you didn't get a department store picture of Santa. You didn't write a letter to Santa, and you didn't even put out the cookies. Your sister did all that. So you really, this is crucial.
Also, but his sister didn't get to ride on the train.
Yeah.
Like, dang.
I think it's for people who only don't believe, right?
Yeah, people who need to believe or something like
that. No, because that girl, the main girl, believed and was like leading everybody.
Yeah, why was she there?
Yeah, and so the sister puts out the cookies and she's rewarded with not going to the North Pole. What kind of a message are we sending?
Maybe it's a combination of kids who need to see something to believe, and then also kids that are good and deserve to meet Santa.
That makes
sense.
You know what? Actually, in the book, mm-hmm. When we were kids, am I crazy? Do I think that his sister went with him?
Oh, I don't
in
know.
In the book?
I haven't read the book.
I used to love the book. So that's the thing. When I was little, because and something that's cool, if people don't know this, is that the art from the movie, the way that they did the mocap, was to emulate the art from the book, because the art from the book is a very specific style.
Yeah.
And they did a pretty good job of that,
they
I thought.
Did.
Yeah.
It looks good.
It was scary sometimes, but it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coop was like, bah! No, actually, well, like there were some parts where you're like, this could cut together as a horror trailer.
Yeah. It was cool. Apparently, this was the first motion capture movie. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I like that all the characters that Tom Hanks played look like Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Yeah, they definitely, that was fun.
Hanks.
That was fun.
There are some behind the scenes videos and pictures of Tom Hanks in the mocap doing like the acting, and it's really funny to watch.
Yeah, you can definitely can definitely just, like, see.
Yeah, see him moving around.
Yeah, the way he walks too, and the way he laughs is in there. So then the kid boards the train without hesitating. Of course, he hesitates at first, but then he finally boards it, and then he meets the know-it-all kid, who's insane
and so annoying.
Yeah,
he's like, hey guys, and also that guy looks like
exactly like that.
Yeah,
kid.
The actor looks. I was like, did they base their looks on the kids or whatever? And it's like sometimes, and for the most part, no, but not. But that kid, it was like, which feels pointed.
Yeah,
it feels pointed. Yeah. It feels
like somebody secretly wants to tell him he's an annoying asshat.
Like, you know what we should do? Just fucking make it look like him, and also he talks like him, and everybody's like, "That's the annoying kid in the movie."
Yeah. Oh no.
Oh, this teaches him a lesson.
Yeah, and then he also meets Hero Girl, which is the girl, the one.
Yeah, the hero girl that doesn't have.
Yeah, she's great. And then this is when the conductor comes by to punch tickets, and he punches them and, like, writes letters.
Yes, so but only a couple letters, right?
Yeah, the Pure Boy has B and E, and then the Know-It-All Kid has L-E, and then we don't know what the girl gets yet.
Because her ticket gets, like...
Yeah.
It flies out.
Yeah.
Flies out.
But first, they go to the other side of the tracks and they pick up this sad boy.
That should have been his name. We've all been there.
I take go to the other side of the tracks to pick up a sad boy.
To pick up sad boy and try to fix him.
Yeah. And his name is Lonely Boy, and it's Billy. But he also doesn't get on the train at first, and the train runs away, and he tries racing after it and falls flat in the snow. And so that's when the hero boy pulls on the emergency brake to cause the train to stop so he can get on. And then, of course, Tom, the conductor, is like, "Why did you do that?" And then he's like, the hero girl's like, "He did it because of the sad kid.
Is this, the child is sad and he should get on this train."
And then that's when he's like, "Oh, okay, that's fine. But oh my gosh, we gotta go."
But isn't that, there's like a weird moment in there where he doesn't trust the girl about the break.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like she's like, it, like there's this weird moment where.
So I think that's the second time around.
Oh, is that the second time? Yeah. Sorry, I got them confused. Okay, got it.
Because they're both.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing. Also, it looks like the sister wasn't on the Polar Express. I think I just put her there because I was a sister myself.
Aww. And you wanted to be
there. I wanted to be there.
Put yourself in there. And then this is when they do a. We got it song where they have hot chocolate and they serve hot chocolate. It's very weird.
This
is so fun.
This is the part that I feel like is most clearly mocap. Like, because that was it's like the main actors are mocap, but this is the part where they were like, let's do some CGI capitalize, because all the guys are the same exact model.
Yeah.
And they like don't. They have like specifically vague faces.
Yeah. And then they all do the same movement.
Yeah. There's like one that kind of is tapping in a corner. It's kind of like, okay, all right. Looks like a video game.
I like this one because Tom Hanks sings "We Got It" a bunch of times. That's just the song. It's just "We Got It." Yeah, we got it. Song. Yeah.
Also, was there sleeping medication in that hot chocolate? I couldn't tell if they were drugging the kids.
Slept. No.
Also, it was thick hot chocolate.
Yeah, but why were they getting all like sleepy? Because
they drank so much.
It's because they were drugged.
Yeah. There was fucking Quaaludes in that.
No.
You don't think there's some Zannies?
Like, I think so.
We got that.
Yeah,
we
keep
got
it hot
that.
Or else
yeah,
the
yeah.
medicine won't work.
Uh-huh.
No.
If it's bitter, just drink past it.
No. That's not what they say. But while the song is going on, the hero girl hides a thing of hot chocolate underneath her chair so that she can bring it to the sad boy.
Sad boy.
Yeah. So then,
what you gonna do?
What you gonna do when she come with hot chocolate? And Tom Hanks, the conductor, helps her bring it back to him, but she leaves her ticket on the seat. And of course, the hero boy, he's like, let me go save her. So he brings the ticket But then it gets lost in the wind, and we follow this ticket for like a good 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ticket gets like goes through a full hero's journey.
Yeah,
twice.
It flies through the air, lands in the snow. Some wolves come by, pick it up in the wind, and then it flies some more. And then this bird picks it up, feeds it to its baby. Its baby coughs it up. It falls down.
Oh, I thought the baby shit it out. That makes much more sense. No. It was coughing.
Yeah,
it
out. Coughs it out
instantly, and this ticket goes right through me.
And then it rolls down the hill it's into like a snowball.
Baby bird Taco Bell.
Yeah. Oh, right there. It like rolls down the hill, becomes a snowball, flies off into the whatever, and then is like falling and then gets hit by the train.
Right.
And then it flies through the train into the back and lands just as Tom Hanks is coming through the car, inside the car, and into the vent.
Right. And then Tom Hanks' conductor says, like, where's your ticket?
Yeah.
To the girl. And then the hero boy sees it.
Yeah. No, not Wait. Yet.
He doesn't
no.
see it.
He's
I
like,
have the worst memory on the planet. This is here's.
I'm like, what? I don't remember that part.
I'm so dumb.
He's
I'm
like,
dumb
where's
person.
Your ticket? And she's like, I left it on my seat. It's missing. And he's like, you don't have a ticket. And that's when Hero Boy's like, that's my fault. I lost.
Oh,
it.
Right, right.
You can have mine. And Tom Hanks is like, you can't.
These are not transferable.
Yeah
okay, I remember
because
that.
Because they have special words on them. We'll find right. out later. But then he's like, you come with me. So he brings the girl to the back of the train, and they're all like, oh, he's going to dump her off the side of the train because she doesn't have a ticket.
Yeah,
dark thought. Throw her on too.
I know.
Snowbank.
I definitely thought she was going to be murdered too. Like, yeah. No, sorry.
They shovel her into the fire.
Yeah. Oh, no.
More coal.
But then the hero boy is like, well, let me just pull on the emergency brake again. And as he's reaching for it, that's when he notices the ticket in the vent.
Right.
And so he gets it and he's like, now I'm going to give it to her. So then he jumps to the last train to try to deliver the ticket, but they're not there. But the sad boy is there. And then he's
sad
like,
boy.
Yeah. He's like, where did they go? And sad boy's like, they're on the roof.
Why did he lie? Because they weren't on the roof.
No, they were.
Yeah, I thought they weren't on the roof.
No, they were.
They were on the roof?
The Cotton Eye Joe.
No, they were on the roof.
Who was on the roof?
Wait, who's on first? No, they were on the roof, but he couldn't see them because of the snow.
Who?
The no. girl and the conductor.
Okay, got it.
Wait,
I was like,
did you see them on the roof? I thought it was. Just
I
the
thought it was.
Boy.
I thought it was big guy, little guy with the red beard and the fat guy.
Yeah,
they were on the front of the train. But I don't remember them.
Yeah, but they walked to the front of the train from the top, the roof.
So when does this emergency brake get pulled that she's like, hey, that's not it?
Oh, that's later. We'll get to it.
I want
anyway,
her to get to that brake.
So he goes to the top of the train to follow them, but then runs into this hobo guy, also played by Tom Hanks.
Oh, right. This is Ghost Hobo.
Yeah, Ghost Hobo, and he sits with him, and he gives him like a cup of like sock water. To drink, and then he's just like being really weird, and then he's
yeah, that
like
guy's creepy.
He's like, well, come on, let's go. And he's like, do you believe in ghosts? And the kid's like, no. And he's like, interesting.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Which is like that seems like a line from a horror movie.
But, yeah,
because then he immediately like disappears in the snow,
and he has like and I feel like we should describe this man because he's like he's like a ride in the rails 1800s yeah. hobo man that has a bindle and it like the and sock water. I thought it was like bourbon or something.
No,
like he's feeding the kid bourbon. The sock water makes probably more sense.
I think it was well, just sock that's, water. It's
oh, disgusting. I thought it was coffee, but he was putting his socks in coffee.
Maybe.
Which makes no sense at all, but like
none of these. Honestly, bourbon makes the most sense, guys.
It probably is.
Sock water sounds right. And it looks like Tom Hanks, but he's super like skinnier, and then like his jaw is like rawr, I don't know.
It's yeah, weird. He's clearly a ghost or a demon.
Yeah,
maybe both.
Maybe Banshee. Both.
Yeah. So then he starts walking to the front of the train, and then he disappears, and the kid has mental breakdown where he's like, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Yeah, what was that?
It was weird.
I'm sorry. I did not get this man on top of the train.
No, I don't get him either.
It wasn't explained either.
No.
And it's just like, live with it.
The Christmas hobo.
Yeah.
You guys didn't grow up with a Christmas hobo?
I think there was...
If you're not a good girl, the Christmas hobo will visit you.
Take you away. I think there was like something about, because Good King wants this lost... What's that song?
Oh, yeah. Well, looked out on the Feast of Stephen.
He was singing that song as the kid came up, and I guess it apparently the story of that song and then this hobo kind of relate somehow.
Nice to poor people on this feels like, well, because there's an Ebenezer Scrooge thing later, so maybe this is like a ghost of Christmas past or something.
Later Rob Zemeckis makes the Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey the same way.
Oh my gosh. So he has a thing for the Christmas Carol,
I guess. So
okay, yeah.
Maybe it's based on his life.
Maybe it is. Zemeckis was either Tiny Tim or Scrooge.
Well, I hope he wasn't Tiny Tim, because Tiny Tim dies, right?
No.
Or no?
No, no, but when Scrooge fixes things, then Tiny Tim lives.
Yeah,
because like,
once he starts eating a goose, he's all good.
He's okay. Exactly. Yeah. This goose fattened me up,
too. Yeah, now I'm all healthy. I don't need this
By
crutch.
The way, I only base my knowledge of the Christmas Carol from the Muppets.
Oh,
Christmas
me Carol. Too.
As you should.
Yeah, there you go. We're Marley and Marley. Woo!
Oh my god, I love it so much. I love at Hollywood Studios, Disney's Hollywood Studios, they have a Muppet area, and during Christmas time they just play Muppet Christmas Carol songs.
Oh, that's so great.
It's the best.
What? I gotta go there.
Only one more sleep till Christmas. So, anyway, the hobo guy comes back with skis, and then he's like, get on my back. Which, by the way, apparently Josh Hutcherson, during this moment, when they were mocapping it, when he got on Tom Hanks' back, he farted on him. There's like a story he tells on like Conan or something about that, about how he farted on Tom Hanks once.
He farted on Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
So lucky.
I know.
Oh my god. And I always wanted to fart on Tom Hanks.
Apparently Tom Hanks' response was like, are you kidding me? This kid just farted on.
That's a pure Tom Hanks response. She was like a big fart, like a like, because it couldn't have been silent, because he wouldn't have.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope he didn't like feel it or something.
Oh my god, Tom Hanks like, my back just vibrated.
Oh no,
this
kid just farted on me. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so they fly through the air and then jump. And then the hobo guy disappears, but then the kid falls into the front of the train into a bunch of coal.
But then the guy, like the hobo guy, disappears after being thrown violently against a wall.
Yeah.
I don't know why that made me laugh.
Because he's a ghost.
He definitely, like, you're like, if he were alive, he's dead now. Dead.
Yeah.
It's like his hereditary moment.
But the hero boy runs into the hero girl, and she's driving the train now because the guys at the front of the train are trying to put in the light bulb. Which, by the way, I think these two guys are played by Michael Jeter, an actor who is in The Green Mile with Tom Hanks.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, but this was his last film. Anyway.
Whoa.
Yeah. But then they're like, they see a bunch of caribou ahead. So then they tell the girl to pull on the brakes. And she says, these are the brakes. But then the kid's like, no, shouldn't these be the brakes? Because it's red. And then she's like, then she doubts herself. And she's like, you pull whatever you feel like pulling.
Yeah. And also, but like, also, like, fuck this hero kid boy. Because she literally goes, he goes, what are you doing here? And she goes, they brought me up here. They taught me how to drive the train.
Yeah.
And she's like, and then they pull the brake. And she's like, which one's the brake? And she's like, this one. He told me this one is. And then he's like, no, you're wrong.
This one looks like a brake. And she's like, well, then now I'm totally doubting myself.
Yeah. He like literally just becomes like a male
coworker.
Yeah.
Immediately. It's just like.
It's very. I don't know why this was in there.
It was weird. But then he does. But to his credit, yeah, he gets woke. He fixes it and he pulls the brakes she wants.
The wrong one. But then he pulls the one she wants. And it is the actual brakes because women are always right.
Never forget that. Yeah.
And then so they come screeching to a halt. And then one of the like conductor guys is not conductor guys, like engineers.
Yes. Yeah.
He comes face to face with a caribou. And we realize there's like 100,000 caribou in front of them on the track. So they're like, mm-hmm. What are we going to do? And then Tom Hanks, the conductor, is like, oh my gosh, we're going to be late. And that's when they pull on this one guy's beard and he screams.
Ugh. Like the caribou or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, so then they move out of the way.
Yeah, he screams in such a way that it mimics like, the caribou. Ooh, and then the caribou, yeah. And then they like back away.
Yeah. And they're like, that was easy.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was going to be a much bigger challenge. And no. It was like, nope. We're just going to pull his beard a couple times. That's it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And then they end up on some ice that makes the train car like.
This was cool.
Really like skid off and like do all these crazy things.
Yeah, it's like a lake, a frozen over lake.
Yeah.
And the tracks were supposed to be like going across it, but they got iced over. And and honestly, like that was really cool.
It was cool.
And especially that was one of those things where I was like, oh, I wish we had it in 3D rewatching it. Cause I remember that from seeing in the theater. I remember that being like, whoa, in the 3D thing. Yeah. But I feel like that was really well done artistically. Yeah.
This whole thing reminded me of like, because there was a lot of moments where we're riding on a track or doing all this stuff. It's like reminded me of like a Disney ride where it's just like a screen, but then your seat is moving around.
The motion with Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Dude, by the way, that one made me a little the Star Tours made me a little sick.
Oh yeah, Star Tours made my friend. Yeah, a lot of people get sick on that.
Yeah,
not me. It's my fave.
You like that one?
Yeah.
Once I figured out, I got started to get sick, and then I realized that I was like, oh wait, but they put C-3PO in the corner, and he's like a fixed. So this is what you do if you have a motion sickness problem with screen stuff.
Just watch C-3PO.
Watch C-3PO. That's right, because he's a fixed location. That's what it is. It's like. If you have a fixed location on the screen that you can put, so if you're like playing a video game and you're getting motion sick, put something that like a roll of paper towels vertically in front of the screen. And so it gives you a fixed point to tell your brain to stop panicking.
I also, cause I used to be a dancer. They said that when you get really dizzy from spinning a lot, just put your hand on your nose.
Really?
To separate your two eyes or whatever.
Whoa.
That's supposed to help you not be so dizzy.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start doing that after I get off Star Tours. Cause I definitely like I went with our, you guys know Colin Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went with Colin Murphy last week and we both walked off and I was like, I feel a little motion sick. And he's like, me too. We had to like go sit down for a minute.
Yeah. I had to do that too.
Yeah.
I took Zach Olson and Mimi Olson and we had to sit down afterwards cause Mimi wasn't feeling well.
Yeah. I'm with Mimi.
Yeah. I was like walking off and Zach's like, hey, Rachel, I think we need to stop for a second.
Like,
and I was like, oh, gosh, sorry, I left you guys. I'm always wandering off at Disney, so sorry.
You've got your path. You're a Disney fan. Rah, rah, yeah. Rah, rah,
rah. I always think people are right there with me, but they're like trailing behind. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's a family thing. Anyway. So then they manage to get off of the, just as the ice is breaking and becoming water again, they manage to get out. And that's when we see the two kids, the hero girl and the lonely boy are singing a song together, a Christmas song. Yeah. And it's cute. I guess it's the Christmas Comes to Town. When Christmas comes to Town.
Is this a real song? Or is it just for the movie?
I think they wrote it for the movie.
Just for the movie. I don't know.
It's like basically she's like, Christmas is great. And he's like, it's not usually for me.
Yeah. Like, I'm from the other side of the church.
I know. He was like really down too. I was like, what's happening at home?
I want to know his backstory of like, why is Christmas always bad for you?
We don't get it.
He literally says Christmas is always bad for me. Like a 40-year-old bachelor.
It doesn't work out for me.
It just doesn't work out for me.
I assume because they made him come from the other side of the tracks and his house looked not as nice as everyone else's that he's probably poor and he doesn't get anything for Christmas and he always hopes for something from Santa but never gets it.
I would have liked to have seen what he was asking for.
Yeah, I wanted to see because he said, I've always wanted this. And it sounded like bunch of things.
Yeah, we never got to see what that present was. Rude. What the heck?
I'm sure
Billy? Was it Billy?
Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? Come on, Billy.
Well, he wasn't allowed to open it until Christmas.
He obeyed the rules, unlike Know-It-All Kid, who's literally called Know-It-All Kid, right?
Yeah.
Know-It-All Kid.
Yeah.
Sounds like a duck.
He's stupid. Anyway.
We hate him.
Then they see the Northern Lights, and then they arrive at the North Pole. We see all these elves everywhere. And then they, Hero Boy and Hero Girl go to the back car to get the sad kid. And in the process, Hero Boy steps on the thing that connects the two cars. So then their car goes flying off and then lands in some weird like intersection thing with a bunch of different train tracks.
It's like another roller coaster bit. There's like four roller coaster bits in this movie, which is pretty cool.
Awesome, especially if you are in the theater.
Yeah. But then it's like creepy. There's like Christmas music playing in an old-timey... speaker, and then they like are walking on the train tracks and it's like scary because it looks like they're about to fall to their death.
Wait, did we pass crazy Ebenezer Scrooge puppet?
Yes, we did. We passed Ebenezer Scrooge puppet. So when they're coming back from the front of the train back to the back of the car, they go through this car that's just like old toys,
old dolls, like fucking scary.
Yeah,
some fucking Insidious shit.
It's all broken marionettes, and one of them is the Scrooge, but it looks like Scrooge from A Christmas Carol, Jim Carrey's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Super creepy. It starts talking to the boy, but then we realize it's the hobo puppeting it.
Which is not any less scary. I know, because
it's definitely a ghost. Scary. So a ghost is operating a marionette puppet on a train filled with old toys.
Yeah, and he starts calling our Hero Boy a doubter. Yeah. He's like, you're a doubter! You're a doubter! And he's like,
very murdery.
It's very murdery.
Murdery and culty.
It's like very, really feels like, I cannot stress this enough, it feels like a scene from a horror film. Because like a girl's holding a doll that's like a porcelain doll that's all tore up. And she's like.
It's Annabelle.
Yeah, it's Annabelle. It's Annabelle. And she's like, people treated their toys like this. And she's like, feels like it. Yeah. It's
about to be the Sid scene from Toy Story where they're all coming to life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't mess with your toys. but that happens. But then we get to the North Pole and then they fly off on their car and they're like trying to get back. And the hero boy, the hero girl and sad boy can hear bells, but hero boy can't.
Yeah.
Which is referencing Santa's bells that only kids who believe can hear. But we don't know that yet. But then they manage to get to the town where the elves live and everything's tiny.
Aww.
And then they keep following the bells and they manage to end up at elf headquarters where we see them like looking at a screen of all these little kids sleeping in their beds.
Not creepy at all.
Yeah, not creepy. They're like... That's so weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
And then we get the Steven Spielberg kid. And then he's like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Like on repeat, which is also weird. And also the elves in this like control room, they all wear like Napoleon hats.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't know.
I don't know.
They're like commanders or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like it's a war room or something.
It really is. It's treated like it's a war room and then they're dressed like Napoleon.
Yeah.
And they're all short. So I guess they're all, maybe that's what happened to Napoleon's bloodline.
They have an Napoleon complex.
Hey.
Oh.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And then this is when then the elves all get into this like contraption that looks like those things at the bank where it shoots out.
Yeah, the pneumatic tubes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, that's what they're called. Pneumatic tubes.
I thought they made that up.
No, man. You never went to it like in the 90s in the banks.
I thought the name was made up.
No, pneumatic is what they're called.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where it shoots, where like you put it in at the, like in the. In the banks in the 90s, you'd put your check in a little capsule and you put it in and close it and go.
Yeah. I remember when my mom used to do that. It was so cool. She'd be like, this is the tube.
And oh man, yeah, I used to love that. That's it. Like, there was really no point in any of that, but what a cool thing.
Yeah. And now it's an ATM machine.
Oh, feels like we've gone backwards in technology.
I know. It's not as fun.
The future was supposed to be cool.
Yeah. Lots of tubing, but
no. The future's supposed to be all tubes.
We're all supposed to get into tubes and then shoot ourselves into work.
Exactly. That's what's supposed to happen.
Dang. Jetsons.
Whatever.
Yeah. Why can't we have that?
Oh, I don't know.
The year's not over yet.
2019. Tubes.
Tubes.
So then they end up somewhere where they see a present, the Billy present.
Yeah, Billy's present.
Yeah, it's like for him.
It's that this is in, they end up going in like what is must be some sort of a it's like a bunch of conveyor belts, right? And all the presents are coming in from different windows, and they like are going, it's like a factory line.
Yeah. And they all end up into the, because they follow the present because Billy chases after it, and they end up in this like stock pile of presents, and Billy wants to open it, but it says don't open till Christmas,
right?
So he obeys the rules, and then like this like pile of presents gets picked up by like a sack on a blimp and flown out,
which then, that was wild. What was happening there?
Yeah, I don't know. And then like something is pulling on Billy's leg, and it ends up being No Doll Kid, who's at the bottom of the bag looking at his own present.
Was he like just waiting for them in there?
I don't know.
He was not with them.
Yeah, and how did he get there? I know how they got there because their train car flew off, but did the No Doll Kid just like sneak off?
I guess he snuck off and then went down the same little roller coastery thing that they did. And then I think he came, they all go down that hole and then they come up in the pile of presents. So he must have just been a little bit behind him, and that's why he was further down in the presents, maybe? Oh,
maybe.
I'm trying to assist Zemeckis here.
Yeah.
Take the help, Zemeckis.
Take the help.
A lot of this movie just feels like little like sketches all put together.
Yeah, like little vignettes sort of thing. Yeah.
Nothing kind of really, I mean, the whole thing is just like you ride the Polar Express, meet Santa, and then leave.
Yeah, it really feels like, to your point, Rachel, it really does feel like one of those rides, like a visual ride at Disney sort of thing, because it's not like you hit a true climax where it's like the train is going to go off a cliff, and if it goes off the cliff, all the presents for the children are on it, and, you know, like, it's not like it goes to a fixed point.
There's no stakes, really.
Not really.
Yeah.
But lots of fun.
Lots of fun. Which is what you want on Christmas.
Christmas. Yay. Sad boy.
Yeah. So then there's like the sack gets into his sleigh. Like the star on the tree almost kills an elf.
Like really almost kills an elf.
Yeah. And then like they all slide off the bag. It's just like a lot of stuff. I don't know. And then that's when they end up surrounded by a bunch of elves, and then all of a sudden I don't know how the bell falls off something and rolls.
It like the bell flies off. I can't remember how it flies off
the belt thing
yeah, that is the harness that's attached to the reindeer. This is the funniest, most completely like, okay, we're doing 3D at this point, because the bell flies off, it flies up in the air, it flies clearly towards you, it flies like they catch it from 15,000 different angles and move the music to be like super slow motion.
Oh yeah,
it was like, so it was like, this is our 3D shot, everybody. It's really funny.
Lands at the feet of the hero boy, and he picks up, and he's like shaking, and he can't hear anything, and he's like, I want to believe. And then he starts hearing the ringing,
right.
And then that's when Santa Tom Hanks shows up.
Woo!
And he's like, oh, Santa Tom Hanks.
That's Rachel, not Tom Hanks.
No, they sound
exactly the same.
Yeah, and he like talks to all the kids. He tells the know-it-all boy to calm the F down.
Yeah, he's like, back off, bro. Yeah.
And then he goes down the line and he talks to each one. And then he gets the hero boy and he's like, you get the first gift of Christmas.
Right.
And everyone cheers. And then he's like, what do you want? And the hero boy whispers in his ear and we don't hear what he's saying. But he's like, oh, okay.
And then yes, a very sarcastic okay from Santa.
All right, you fucking idiot. You could have a race car.
You could have anything in the world, but you want this?
You want this?
And,
all right, buddy.
So he gives him the bell that he just got. The ringing bell. And then he's like, take good care of it. And immediately the kid puts it in his pocket that has a hole in it.
Idiot.
Dumb, which dumb. Is so dumb because he has two pockets.
Yeah. And he should know.
When I have a hole in one of my pockets, I'm aware. I'm like, I put things in other pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid didn't deserve the first. The girl did nothing wrong. She deserved the first.
She deserved it. Yeah. But of course, you have to give it to the white boy.
always.
True. So true. Also, she was the only black girl on the train. Uh-huh. We were talking about that.
The
we're
only black person in the entire movie. She was the elves were like.
They were all white. Yeah. Yeah. Their eyes on the two.
She was the only person of color in the entire movie. Because, you know, in 2004, you only need one.
Mm-hmm. Only need one.
Boy. And they were, like, congratulating themselves for it, I'm sure.
I'm sure. They were like, our hero is a black girl.
Yeah.
And she's and she's told to lead.
Yeah.
See, guys?
We don't.
There it is.
We don't believe anything she says, but she was right about that break. And then this is when we get Steven Tyler Elf.
Oh yeah,
that was Steven.
Oh. Yeah, cameo by Steven Tyler.
Was he really?
Yeah, wow. As an elf singing for no reason at all.
Like rocking. There's like basically three songs in a row kind of happen toward like in the last third of the movie, which is very weird.
Yeah, and then Santa flies off and goes to deliver presents, and he's right on time according to Tom Hanks's watch thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then this is when the kids get back onto the train and Tom Hanks' conductor punches their tickets one more time and finishes out the words. So the know-it-all kid gets learn.
Mm-hmm.
The sad boy gets depend on and then it turns into count on.
And rely on.
And rely on. Oh, yeah. So I guess he's depend on, count on, rely on, count on. I don't know. So,
why didn't they just write trust?
Yeah. Because
it's too easy, baby.
Too easy. He's gonna flip it.
They had to show the magic of it changing.
Right. Don't worry, Billy. Dad'll come home.
Oh no! And then Hero Girl gets lead because she's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course Hero Boy gets believe because now he believes.
Yeah, and he can remind himself.
Yeah. So then Billy goes home. Well, we say goodbye to the sad boy and we see that he Santa beat him home and delivered his present so he can open his present, which we never find out is inside.
Mm.
Yeah. But then, so Billy goes home and then Hero Boy goes home and he goes to bed. And then in the morning he wakes up and he runs downstairs, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like, he's not sure if what happened was a dream or not.
Right.
But then he gets the present and it's from Santa and it's like, I found this in my sleigh. You should watch out for that hole in your pocket.
Yeah.
And it's the bell. And so he's like really excited about ringing it and his sister can hear it. But then his parents are like, wow, this thing's broken.
So what a bummer. It's a broken bell. Too bad.
Because they... Don't ask questions.
Yeah.
And then he gives a narration by Tom Hanks. It's like, over the years, people stopped hearing the bell, but I still hear it. Because I believe.
Now, okay, I have a thing. Uh-huh. I have a thing with this film in terms of the stakes, and I think this is probably the thing I was missing. I understand, like, they followed the book very closely in terms of, like, that's where the bell and, I mean, all that stuff. But, like, with the fact that you're adapting it to a movie, I don't know why they didn't work that bell thing in from the very beginning.
Yes.
Like he has, yeah, like if the bells are attached to the train somehow too or whatever, and he's like, I can't hear it, and then Hero Girl always hears it or something like that. Like, so you can establish it so that you get to the point, because I didn't feel like his frustration at not hearing the bells later was earned. Yeah. Like when he was like chasing Hero Girl and Billy, I was like, well, that's fair, I guess. I don't know. But like, if it's something where it's like either he has found a bell before or there's bells on the train and he can't hear them, but other people can, so that you can like feel his frustration growing over the course of things, and that it's like clearly an indicator that he hasn't gotten to the point of belief yet, then I feel like I would like that payoff a lot more.
Yeah. There's something missing from this movie the whole time. It just felt like, who is this movie for? Because it's not really for anyone looking for a real story. Right?
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. But I guess it's for people, for putting them in the Christmas spirit, or people who love Tom Hanks and want to see Tom Hanks play multiple roles. Yeah. So I guess this movie was for me.
In the end.
Yeah.
It's for Rachel.
Well, it was for me.
It's like one of those great movies you leave on in the background while you're baking something.
You don't need to watch it. No. It just needs to be on. And then every once in a while you'll hear Tom Hanks sing, "We got it.
We got it. We got it.
We got it. We got it."
Gets you in the mood.
It really is the only lyrics to that. We got it. We got it. Yeah. We got it. We got it.
But then at the end of the movie, we get a Josh Groban Christmas song,
which is still played a lot.
Yes.
Now that is played like constantly during the Christmas season.
I feel like if you get a good Christmas song, you're set for life.
I think about this a lot.
Yeah.
I think about this, a good Christmas movie or a good Christmas song. That's it. You're set for life. Also, I wonder if, because they have those like three songs like at the end, do you think We Got It was written after, and because they were like, there's three songs at the end and nothing before,
we need to add in a song.
We got it. We got it. We got it.
Hey, Jenkins, what do you got?
We got it. Because it's also like not very well animated, and so like it feels kind of shoehorned in. They're just like,
but I feel like that scene is the one that's most used in like the trailer or something like that, like all the waiters dancing around.
It's the most active, like
I don't know. I don't know.
They all had the vaguest faces. That was the funniest thing to me. I was like, all these waiters tap dancing is like clearly the exact same CGI model. They're like stamp, 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 stamp.
Copy, paste. Yeah.
The girl was cool.
The girl was cool.
I still liked it. I liked that. And I do like that song at the end.
Yeah, I do too. You know, it puts you in a good mood, even if it's not technically the greatest film ever. It's not something you're like, I need a good film right now. It's like, I need to feel like Christmas.
Yeah. And it's like a cool, it does look like a video game movie play out.
Yeah,
like when you're playing a video game and they're like, here's a clip.
Yeah,
like it looks like a full movie of that.
That's what we were talking about, that like it would be a thing where you would see, that's the part where it shows the video, and then you'd like, then it cut to gameplay and you're like trying to ski on the top of the train.
Would be a perfect game, honestly. It's just like you use those clips and then create some simple game work.
Yeah.
They have so many missed opportunities in this movie for a game, an actual train.
Yes.
That goes to Polar Express.
Yeah.
They should have done it.
Universal has so many of their stuff that's taken away from them now because like, well, they don't really own a lot of their properties. Like Simpsons is now Disney. And then they don't really, I don't know if they own, I mean, they don't own Harry Potter at all because it's Warner Brothers
too.
So I'm like, I wonder if they should just buy out Polar Express and put in a Polar Express ride.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? By the way, do we know what's going to happen with the Simpsons? Like there's a whole Simpsons area, Universal Studios.
I think they're going to keep leasing it out, and then Disney's just going to get... It's the same thing. They have a park in Florida at Universal Islands of Adventure that's just Marvel Land.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so there's like a Hulk ride, a Spider-Man ride, and like Doctor Doom, all this stuff. So it's
holy
like...
Holy crap.
They have a deal with Disney where they can't really build anything that is too Marvel-y.
Gotcha.
But now they do because they're going to build all the Marvel campus. Right. Stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for answering that. I've been wondering that.
Yeah. They can have all the Marvel stuff here in California because I think it's like a deal like west of the Mississippi. But like in Florida.
Oh
my God.
What? A west of the Mississippi deal?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
I hope so. I would love if our country's still like
west in the Mississippi.
We're still dealing with our manifest destiny.
Yeah. But they're putting a Guardians of the Galaxy ride. That's like the first one they're allowed to because it's not part of the Marvel land.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyways, Polar Express. Let's rate this. Out of 5 Tom Hankses.
Ooh.
How many Tom Hankses do you give the Polar Express?
I give it 3.
3?
Mm-hmm.
That's a solid number.
That's a solid number. It's just like it's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
It's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
He's just a lovely gentleman.
He's a lovely gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sexually attracted to his son, Colin.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Who isn't?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a mark of a normal.
Yeah.
That's a mark of being normal. I give it 2.5. I didn't really like it that much. I like in terms of all of his oeuvre of films.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm not gonna put it even close to the top or the middle.
Yeah. I would say in December only I would give this a 3.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
A spirit.
Winter Maid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it's like something I would watch and I feel like everyone shits on this movie as being bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think people consistently, that's bad. But then I always say, I like it because it's just a bunch of Tom Hanks. So it feels like you're just hanging out with Tom Hanks for an hour and a half.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. So it just, I don't know. It's one of those movies that you put on in the background. It's playing on 25 Days of Christmas on Freeform. You leave it on the TV.
Love it. Love
it. While you're baking cookies for Santa. Yes. Because you got to believe, because Santa is real.
Santa's real, y'all.
Yeah, and he's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a conspiracy theory that Santa Claus is Tom Hanks.
Oh,
I would completely believe if he was
throughout
Tom Hanks.
The year, it's just like, oh, yeah, Tom Hanks is Santa Claus.
Oh.
I support that theory.
I believe it.
I support it.
Yeah. What is your favorite Christmas movie?
Scrooge and Christmas Story.
Scrooge is really good. I think Home Alone.
Home Alone?
Yeah, Home Alone's my number one.
That's going to be on 25 Days of Christmas.
Yeah. What's yours?
Elf.
Elf is up there for sure. Yeah. I was like kind of wrestling with that in my mind, but I fucking love Home Alone.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, they just really nail every angle of Christmas and then it's like insane.
Yeah. I just really got obsessed with Elf and then it's become like a family thing.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Yeah. It's such a good movie. Mm-hmm. Scrooged is too. I forgot about how much I like Scrooged. Yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah. Well, Christmas is coming up.
You guys better get ready.
Get ready for Christmas.
Get ready or else the Scrooge marionette will fucking yell at you.
You know, a great thing to be on the nice list for this year is to leave a nice little review. Just kidding. Where can people find you guys?
Instagram, this_is_coop.
Woo. And you can find me on Twitter at Haley Mancini, or you can find my podcast Twitter at 0ZERO_Godzilla. It's a podcast about Godzilla called Godzilla versus Podcast Zero.
That's so fun.
It's fun, you know. I like the G-man, the big G.
Yeah. I like his appearance in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh yeah,
right.
The dinosaurs like in the park, you mean?
When he's going through the studio a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He goes through that. Holy crap. We should actually have you on just to discuss. We can discuss that. We cover all sorts of weird stuff, too.
Really? 'Cause
that's right. He runs through and they're filming it.
Yeah, they're filming something.
They're filming the set and he's, like, fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's, like, riding through on his bicycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do that. Yeah, we just did a novel with Mike Trapp, Godzilla at World's End, and it was crazy. Yeah.
Godzilla's fun.
It's a good time. It's a good time.
I'm glad he's making a comeback. Wasn't he in a movie recently?
He was. Oh my God, it was so good. Oh. Coop's had me intimidated. I've intimidated Coop to see it many times. Coop, come on, see it.
Okay, fine.
I remember his movie from the 90s with Matthew Broderick.
Oh my God, it's so bad. It's so bad. They give that zero Tom Hankses. And there's no Tom Hanks in it either.
Yeah,
so.
There is no Tom Hanks.
Would have at least given it one Tom Hanks.
Oh no.
If there was a Tom Hanks.
Yeah, but just none. So it's zero. You're right. Well, thank you so much for being here, you guys.
Thanks for having us, Rachel.
This was fun.
Super fun.
And thanks for listening. Okay, bye.
Bye. It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast.